Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our first reading is a reading from Exodus. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why do you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and the water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in sight of the elders of Israel. He called the people Massah, called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsibly. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to rock of our salvation.
Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms.
For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods.
In your hand are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours.
The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Oh, that today you would hear God's voice.
For our mind departs at the Meribah, and on that day as a mountain in the desert.
There your ancestors tested me. They put me to the test, though they had not seen my works.
For 40 years I loathed that generation, saying, "The heart of this people goes astray. They do not know my ways."
Indeed, I swore in my anger, they shall never come to my rest. Our second reading is from Romans. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person sometimes might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now, we have been justified by his blood. We will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we are enemies, we are reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our love, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Word of God. Word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming," who is called Christ. "When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him food, something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more than the heart comes the harvest? But I say to you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believed, but for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. The big news of this episode with Jesus' ministry stems from the outcome announced at the very end. It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The townspeople announce that they first believed that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, through this woman's testimony. It is no longer because of you that we believe. These words reveal a surprising reality. She has recognized Jesus as Messiah through a conversation where he offers her life, living water that could speak of naturally flowing water. But what Jesus offers goes beyond that. He offers living water that, well, it means eternal life. And in the end, she accepts. In fact, she drops everything, leaves her water jars behind to go into town announcing the truth of this conversation. This encounter mirrors the conversation with Nicodemus that we heard last week. Nicodemus comes to private space under the cover of night. This woman to a well in the heat of the day. In each case, Jesus makes an announcement. His partner, conversation partner, misunderstands him. And then Jesus goes on to explain again and again and again. However, where Nicodemus's conversation with Jesus begins in that private space, this Samaritan woman's conversation begins in public space. She poses a challenge to those early hearers that she collects water at the well at midday. Suggests that she has experienced shunning by the women of the community. Otherwise, she would come in the cool of the day, in the morning or in the evening when the women gathered and it was a bit of a social time. And that social time meant that, well, they could share their stories. And in that way, it became private space. In the words of commentators Molina and Rohrbach, she represents a social deviant. As a Judean, Jesus would recognize that Pharisaic regulation has declared her perpetually impure because of her Samaritan heritage. In addition, that she lives with a man who is not her husband makes her impure on another level. Their being in this public space, a man and a woman who do not know one another, well, they would not interact. This whole interaction then raises concerns on so many levels in the first century. Yet this woman, shunned by the community of women, living with a man, not her husband, who spoke with a strange man, an outsider nonetheless, this woman goes back into the village and boldly shares the result of her encounter. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? Of course, her question begs a negative answer. Still, The people believed because of her. Stepping back, though, as she and Jesus converse, as Jesus reveals private knowledge of her, as she dares to speak with great candor, their conversation becomes less and less public. Their conversation becomes very private. Jesus honors a social deviant. She responds as an evangelist, perhaps even as an apostle sent out to share what she has learned. Come and see. Her invitation echoes that of Andrew to his brother at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. 21st century reality continues to present, challenges for many women. As a group, financial compensation, career opportunity, employment rights all lag behind those for men. Too often, women who excel still provoke a sense of deviance among some circles, even faith communities. Too often, historically at least, medical and pharmaceutical research has not included women and hasn't accounted for how that research impinges on them. In too many circles, language about women carries derogatory intent. Such standards, such patterns run counter to the commitment to justice that faithful Christians affirm. When joining the congregation or making an affirmation of baptism, all candidates commit to seek justice in all the earth. This global commitment has very local implications. What Jesus models in his patient explanations, and more so in his praise of this woman, points to his commitment to love and honor all people, even those deemed social deviants by their community at large. As the body of Christ, this church commits itself to honoring all people, following the example of Jesus. This church has long honored the witness, the evangelism, the apostolic proclamation of women in ministry and in society. At the same time, this church has notable instances where women have been disparaged, where they experience crushing discrimination, harassment, and denigration. The church needs to do better, both within the community of the church and in its witness in the public square. With Jesus' example, caring for and advocating for any who live under the risk of denigration and shunning, this church has committed itself to advocate both within the body of Christ and in the public square. In the social statement, Human Sexuality, Gift, and Trust, the ELCA has made this commitment. This church also will attend to the need for equal protection, equal opportunities, and equal responsibilities under the law, and just treatment for those with varied sexual orientation and gender identity. Such individuals are disproportionately and negatively affected by patterns of stigma, discrimination, and abuse. Likewise, this church will attend to the particular needs of children and families of those with differences in sexual orientation and or gender identity, because they are especially vulnerable to verbal, physical, emotional, spiritual, psychological, and sexual abuse. the cost of ignoring injustice against women, as well as those of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions, opens the way for discrimination that violates this church's commitment to equal protection, equal opportunities, and equal responsibilities. By Jesus' example, all who follow him receive a call through the waters of baptism to love, honor, and advocate for those at risk. Because of the witness of such faithful women and others such as these, we believe. Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.